You are listening to Who Killed Donald T. Johnson, a progressive murder mystery with 10 villains who were initially victims. Hello, I'm Brianna Cross, the convener, and here in episode 12, I invite you to meet the writers. With a background in regular and FM radio, novel and short story writing, oral history and drama, as well as outreach work in drug rehabilitation in some of the sleaziest backstreets in capital cities, I took to podcasting with ease. It was a medium in which I could exploit all my experiences and mix with interesting people who were in a similar situation. Early in 2021, I approached a number of scriptwriters from around the world that I had worked with previously and outlined what to me was an unusual idea. We create a fictional villain based on some of the high-profile people who have had negative press headlines in the last few years, and each writer kill him off with a character of their own choosing. But he must die in London in May 2018. The result was and is a most eclectic collection of stories, which we release throughout the year with some of them interweaving with others. Receiving the finished media from almost 30 creatives recording on systems I had never heard of was a challenge for me. So, as a special treat, I invited the scriptwriters to meet up for the first time via Zoom one early morning or afternoon, or in some instances, it was a late evening. While the first episode was simply a preview, the second, which was indeed the first real story, was by Steve Haynes, who lives in Brisbane, but who decided to set his story, Best Served Cold, in Perth in 1983.
G'day everyone, I'm Steve, I'm from Queensland in Australia. I've been writing for a few years. I had started off writing with a friend of mine who runs ghost and murder tours in this part of the world. He has his own publishing company, and he specialises in true crime, jail escapes, murder mysteries, true life murder mysteries. And I worked with him in, a couple of books, actually helping him write one. I was thinking about prior to that, I had actually started my own production company with two friends, which was revolving around a horror fantasy project, but it actually dissolved and it will hopefully maybe one day be subject to a book itself, the whole relationship of how that came about. I've written under two names, my own, Steve Haynes, and also B.F. Walters. He's my pseudonym for some of my articles that I've written over the years. I got into this through Brianda, who we met at a meetup group, I wrote a previous podcast for her, and then she approached me with this idea, and I thought it sounded fascinating. And it's been great working with everyone else and hearing their stories unfold. I approached the novel idea of a multiple murder mystery, sort of reverse engineering it. How would an Australian get close enough to this billionaire? I know initial conversations had been talked about Expo 88 in Brisbane and the Australia's Cup defence, which was around the same time. For those of you who don't know, the Australia's Cup defence occurred in Perth, which is also the home base for the Australian SAS, the Special Air Service, which is where I started the reverse engineering. I thought, well, if someone's got the skills to commit a international murder, might have specialised training. So he became a serving SAS officer who had advanced training beyond that. I've really enjoyed the project so far. I think it's a interesting concept. I'm enjoying listening to everyone else's podcasts and takes on it. And it's funny how this singular idea has branched off into so many different directions. I don't have anything else. Actually, I tell a lie. I do have something else just starting. I have worked with a friend of mine, Amit. He's an Australian of Indian background. He and I have been writing We wrote the pilot for a TV series, which unfortunately hasn't been picked up by anyone. But we're now trying to move into a YouTube parody sketch revolving around the Morona virus and how many people are being infected with moronicism.
Lots.
Yeah. So it's going to essentially star some of our local identities. Names changed appropriately, of course, but that's where I'm at the moment.
Our next episode was by J.C. Leslie, who also lives in Brisbane. She chose to base her story on World Expo 88. Her title, Bullseye, reflects her interest in archery for the vision impaired.
Okay, so I'm author named J.C. Leslie from Brisbane, and it's nice and warm here today. And so I took up archery a number of years ago, which is how I came about the idea of bullseye. But I've been riding since I was very young. So I think when I was in primary school, I was winning awards with my short stories and then went on to win poetry awards. And then as I took up a career in opera singing, I went away from writing for quite some years while I pursued my career both in Australia and in Germany. And then when I went blind as a complication of diabetes, I took up writing again and have become really interested in crime writing, especially because I'm an avid crime reader. So that's what I've mainly been working on. I have a number of short stories published in anthologies. Mostly they're autobiographical, memoir sort of short stories, but I've just had a new one, a crime story published in an anthology, which will be released on Amazon next year. I have a Facebook page, J.C. Leslie Author, which people can find me on, and I also have a website, which is my agency, entertainment and production agency, which is www.salubrisproductions.com. So as I'm an avid archer, which I took up a number of years ago after being in Wales and learning about blind archery, I took up archery and am now the national champion. And because of that, I thought what a better way to knock someone off than to shoot them with a bow and arrow, So I decided that I'd base my story at World Expo 88, which I performed at as a street entertainer for the whole 6 months of Expo. So I know the time of World Expo 88 in Brisbane very well. And then the rest of it is basically knocking off Donald T. Johnson with the bow and arrow in my podcast.
Minnows and Big Fish by Leah Lin concentrates on the Chinese takeover from the British in 1997, when the gambling laws changed and casinos began to spring up everywhere. One in particular, the Crown Casino in Melbourne, was associated with whistleblower Jenny Jiang, which provided a good deal of background information about corruption and money laundering. The Truth of the Matter is by Joy Duck, who created a quirky character living in the backwoods of San Jose, who, by his own admission, is simply a storyteller. And his story involves the gradual demise of newspaper print, which began round about the 1990s. My own story, Hot Gossip in a Cold Climate, came from a number of sources. The financial downturn around the world in 2009 hit Iceland very badly, so that was the date and location. Then I heard about two people on death row in America who are serving time for killing their spouses with Visine eye drops. I could not resist combining it all into a confessional on a fictitional FM radio station in Reykjavik. Jill Korn lives in Glasgow and decided to base her story and location there. But her journey to being a scriptwriter began a long time ago.
Well, lovely to be working with everybody. It was a project that I really did enjoy. I live near the west coast of Scotland, which is very picturesque and very beautiful. It has lochs and islands and all sorts on our coast. I started writing seriously in my early 60s. I've listened to I don't know how many radio plays on the BBC forever. And I've always enjoyed stories in any medium. So when I was a very little girl, I was stage struck every year when I was taken to the pantomime in Birmingham. And I thought nothing of making up conversations between myself and myself and making up whole scenes and whole stories and basically talking to myself, whatever else I was doing. So my mum called it chuntering away. And I wrote some of this down, but I never took it very seriously at all, until I was faced with the prospect of retirement from real life, real work. And the thought of being bored, I couldn't cope with the thought of waking up every day and not having anything to do. So I decided I would take the storytelling a bit more seriously. I went back to university in Glasgow and did a master's degree in creative writing. And I decided that I would specialise from then on in audio drama. So I've been writing audio drama now for 5 years or so. It's a fascinating medium, as you all know. It's got its limitations. People turned away from it for a long time. You know, with the cinema and television, people turned away from audio drama. I've always loved it because I think it builds a relationship between the listener and the story that's similar to reading a novel, because the listener has to bring his or her own imagination to the story. The storyteller offers so much and the listener provides the rest. And I think that's a wonderful relationship. And more people are realising that, interestingly, before lockdown and indeed through lockdown, certainly here, there's coming to be more and more interest in audio drama. And podcasting, of course, makes it possible to bypass the BBC if they don't want to buy your scripts and do it yourself, which is wonderful. I very quickly learned that half of the work, if you like, is in the writing, and the other half of the work is in the soundscape design. Because if I write she goes to a graveyard on a windy October day, then the soundscape design has got to visualise that and think about the rustle of clothing and the trudging of feet and the wind whistling across the Arran Hills. And that's somebody else's job, thankfully, because I don't have the technical skills for that. So every time I give John Boyd, my producer, a script, I think he nearly has a heart attack with some of the things that I've put in it for him to do. Mm. The beauty of that is that you can then, as a writer, you can take your audience to Nazi-occupied Paris, to medieval France, to an island off the west coast of Scotland very easily, because it's somebody else's job to put in the sound effects. So it's, you know, the world is your oyster, really, and obviously if you write sci-fi, you can take it beyond the limits of the world as well. So I've written two long audio plays, one which is based in Nazi-occupied Paris, and it's about the singer Edith Piaf and the question of whether or not she was a collaborator with the Nazis during the war, which is an interesting question. Another one is also set in France, and that's the medieval one, which questions why a superhero of immense stature in medieval France, who served with Joan of Arc, should one day find himself burned at the stake for a sorcerer and a murderer. So they're pretty dark, really. And then maybe because of lockdown, I started to write slightly lighter drama based in Scotland. around the islands, the Western Isles, off the coast where I live. So Galore is written about a woman of a certain age, let's face it, that's what I know, who finds treasure, hidden treasure on the island and doesn't know what to do with it. When it came to writing The Escort, we were still in lockdown, and so I decided that I would do that as a solo piece, which I'd also done with Galore. And I went back to my Birmingham roots. So you may hear and you may or may not recognise there's a Midland English accent in there. One accent I can't do is Scottish. I've lived here for years, but I can't do Scottish accent. So you'll hear my own accent coming through in that one in The Escort. And it was really interesting to write it and perform it, and then for John to work his magic and to hear the whole thing coming to life with the soundscape that he put to it. So I work with a team of creative people. I'm working on a trilogy of plays at the moment, which I've got funding for from Creative Scotland, and they're all based around Ayrshire, which is the county that I live in. You can find my work on podcast apps, but the easiest way to find what I've written is on my website, which is www.jillcorn.com. And there are blogs and bits and pieces, and the actors are features and so on. But you can click onto any of the plays on that website.
A French Connection was another story by me. I combined the romance of the city of Paris with an understanding of the slender thread on which the glamour and glitter is based. Once again, girls and gambling came together for our villain and was the genesis of the story, which, incidentally, much of which is playing out now in real life. David Pollard lives in the UK and took us to London. Like me, David has had a long association with writing, acting, and producing his own work. And the Danny Carver story was no exception. David can be found at Hand to Mouth Theatre. Seattle is where Julie Hoverson lives, and possibly where her story, Spider Baby, begins. But knowing Julie's inclination towards anything weird, it could be anywhere.
Well, I've written all my life different things, but around 2000, I started studying screenwriting, and I have a couple of short films that were made. I had a full-length film that was optioned, but it never went anywhere. And I decided that that there really wasn't, because I didn't want to run down to Hollywood and beat on people's doors, that I wasn't ever going to get anywhere with that. And I started getting involved with an old-time radio recreation group up in Seattle here. And I wrote a couple scripts for them, and I got into audio drama, but unfortunately they only wanted classic-style old-time radio stuff. So when I found out about podcasting, I kind of jumped in with both feet. I produced from 2008 to 2013 about 100 episodes, which I did do all the writing, producing, mixing, everything for. So I have all the hands on. And I mean, for me, the a lot of times what I'm writing is I write the parts I want to play, because that's what's going to be fun. And if it's fun for me to play, then it'll be fun for somebody else to play, if I decide to give it up. But yeah, but in that time, is obvious from that saying that I've done most of it myself, collaboration is something that I'm very new to. So that's been really interesting working with this. And and my stories in the series range, because it's an anthology, I could do whatever I wanted, and I do adaptations from Lovecraft, and I do original work, and I do mysteries, and I do comedy, and I do romance, and I do zombie romance, and I do vampire cop dramas, and it's whatever came to mind when I happened to sit down that day. I also run a Twitter feed called AD Infinitum, which is all audio drama all the time. I mean, it's just, it literally just lists off what shows are coming out and old shows and new shows. And I've been posting an ad for this every couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
So yeah, just, that's right. It's, I know at least Jill knows about it because I've posted her show there a few times.
You have. Thank you. Yeah. Very, very much appreciated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And basically, you know, so I reach over 3,500 audio drama fans with it. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Can you add us to your distribution list?
All you need to do is go to Twitter and subscribe with your Twitter. I can post the name in here.
Finally, The Last Call, the fictional bar somewhere in an American city set sometime in 2018. Written by Patty Cassidy and Debbie Weiss, both from Boston.
I'm Debbie Weiss, and I'm in Boston, which is behind me here in the Zoom box. And I partnered with Patty Cassidy, who's in the Boston area. And she'll go into the origins of the idea, because I was just tacking on and helping flesh out and adding some additional thoughts. But I'm a writer here in Boston, writing poetry and plays for the most part. I've done a bit of film work. I have never done any noir until this point. And this is also my first audio drama. So I was very excited to dip my toe into that and just like join this wonderful international group. So maybe I'll let Patty continue on, and maybe I'll say something at the end.
Okay. I'm Patty Cassidy. As Debbie says, I come from the Boston area. And I've been writing my whole life. I've done a lot of freelancing. I've done poetry. I've done a number of things. I started writing for the stage about 30 years ago on a dare. I lived on the Mexican border, and we were putting together a theater program for the town. And the theater person who came to help us said, okay, I'm going to have the high school kids do our town. And I said, oh God, that's not even going to apply to them. I could write a better play than that. And of course she took my dare up, and I wrote a play that played packed houses for the weekend because nobody had anywhere else to go. I wrote for the theater for about 25 or 30 years and decided finally I had had it, because I was tired of the ephemeral nature of live theater. And I didn't want to go into screenplays because I'd made documentaries before, and there's so many layers of collaboration. I didn't want to go there anymore. So I decided to go audio, started writing just in 2018, I started writing audio plays, and it was terrific. It was the best of both worlds, and I really like the freedom of being able to take your characters anywhere at any time. Then COVID hit, of course, and that widened my world, and that's how I met Brenda, by sending her some stuff. I've had some stuff, you know, produced all over the world so far. And so basically, as far as the noir goes, I've always been a film noir fan. And when we started talking about this, I thought, yeah, you know, I can do that. And what my specialty, I have sort of a special niche in the writing world. My specialty is adapting classics to a noir style. I've adapted Moby Dick, believe it or not, and Dorian Gray, Waiting for Godot, all into noir fashion. So this just sort of dropped right in the pot.
Well, I'll just say that I've always liked noir films and murder mysteries. I was a big reader of murder mysteries, and I particularly like ones now. I do a lot of reading, lots of diverse subjects, but when I do a murder mystery, it's like international. So, well, Patty was really gracious to have me join her as her partner on the project. And I guess we were challenging, well, or I was challenging her. I was tacking on things and we were bouncing ideas off each other. And I found it a really enriching experience. Early on in my writing career, and I've been doing this for about 20 years, starting first in film and then moving over into theater, I collaborated with three French men. I won't go really into that, but just to say that after a few years of that, I want to do my own stuff. So I haven't done a lot of collaboration since then, but I do enjoy collaborating. And it was a lot of fun to work on this with Patty and get involved in this project because she is the noir mistress. And so I learned a lot from her.
While I believe we have all learned a good deal from each other through collaboration, this not only concludes Behind the Script, but also the final episode for Who Killed Donald T. Johnson? Our villain has been well and truly put to rest. Who would think there were so many interesting ways to die? I would like to take this opportunity to thank all our wonderful scriptwriters and actors who give their time and work voluntarily. For more information on the series, please go to our web or Facebook page, Progressive Murder Mystery Podcasts, and be sure to click on the Rogues Gallery page, where you will find links to all the creatives' other activities. In conclusion, I am your host, Brianda Cross, where I invite you to be sure to return to this platform in 2021 when PMMP will bring you a new progressive series called Ruthless and Rich Bitches. Thank you.